The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover. That's right. We're back with another episode of Gotham Undercover. I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And I'm John McGrail, a.k.a. The Substitute. And welcome to Gotham Undercover. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for facebook.com/group/Gotham Undercover.
That's right. And thanks so much for joining us this week, John. We had some stuff going on with sickness and that kind of stuff. And so we're glad to have you filling in this week.
That's why they call me the Substitute. No, it's a pleasure to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, because we're recording normally a little quicker than this, we get some feedback in about the previous episode. So we're going to do some batarang feedback. And Green Butterfly left us some feedback about episode one. So it's time for her feedback. Here we go.
Good evening, Gotham. This is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Wow, Gotham really is off to a good start this season. I'm really having a good time watching our characters develop. Selina has her iconic whip now. Bruce is learning how to disappear mysteriously out of rooms. Penguin has an iceberg lounge. Yet, I really appreciate that Bruce fell through the glass, showing that he's still young and makes bad decisions and still has a lot of training ahead of him. This episode gets 8 out of 10 frozen frenemy.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, lots to like in that first episode.
Absolutely, and a great way to start this season of Gotham Undercover with picking right up with the Green Butterfly.
That's right, that's right. So this episode was titled The Fear, and it was written by Danny Cannon, so we have another Gotham EP doing the writing duties, and it was directed by Lewis Shaw Melito, who's done work on Gotham, Lucifer, and CSI. So I think that, you know, they kind of trading showrunners between writers and directors, and so I think it worked really well. It was a pretty action-packed episode. So
and the production value was top-notch. The effects and everything. This episode had to have quite a budget. It was really well done.
Yeah, that's what I thought about too. They've really stepped it up with the design and just the special effects, like you were saying. I really appreciated. Yeah. So let's give our ratings. John, what did you rate it?
I really, really like this episode for a number of reasons. So I gave this one 9 hands on the chopping block.
Nice, nice. I liked it too. I liked it better than last week. I gave it 8.5 asylums full of clowns. And oh, man. So our story titles for this week. Our A story is the main one. It's Do Fear the Reaper. That's the Scarecrow and the Jim aspects of the storyline. And then our B story are the Sirens of Fear, that deals with the ladies. And yes, then our C story is Never Fear, the Dark Knight is Here. So so where do you want to start off, John?
You know, let's go ahead and deal with the Bruce.
Okay.
And Fox and Alfred, because there wasn't a lot of time put here, but what was put here, I thought was put to very good use.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So we pick up right where we kind of left off, but Bruce has been locked up at the GCPD, and Alfred's there to save the day. He's got the hotshot expensive lawyer from Wayne, you know, to bail him out. But fortunately, Jim kind of circumvents that and lets him go anyway. So that's good.
Yeah, I love it. Didn't question him. Didn't you know? Didn't say much of anything. Just
we'll talk about it later, but not tonight.
That's right. I'm a little busy now.
But who didn't let it pass was Mr. Fox, and
yeah, this was a great little bit of intervention here because this is where we get the rock climbing story.
We went from cave diving and spelunking in the movie to rock climbing. So
I love it. Yeah, you be careful out there.
Yeah, rock climbing. Oh, that's right. See those mental air quotes around it.
Good stuff.
So, yeah, well, we get back to Wayne Manor, and Bruce is bound and determined to go back out on patrol, and Alfred's just not having it.
Yeah, he, you know, wisely, he's just saying, you know, what happens when somebody has a gun?
Right.
You know, I mean, we've gotten you to the point where you can pretty much fight your way out of stuff, but, you know, what happens when this gets serious? And you know, I think he's got a great point here, and Bruce is not. You know, he's not bulletproof. He doesn't have, you know, the armaments as of yet. And, you know, Alfred's like, you know, I can't do this.
Yeah, I appreciated that. But he knows he can't stop him. I mean, he knows Bruce says he feels alive when he's out there. And Alfred knows he can't stop him.
Right.
But he's at least going to make it clear that try to bring those consequences to, you know, the forefront so that maybe he can realize that. But yet, as the Green Butterfly brought out, he's not yet there because he's out on patrol and he sees this gang breaking in and he gets lured into their trap. And
yeah, that was interesting. It's like, were they looking for him, or
I'm guessing the context, they didn't specifically say it, but I kind of guessed this was the gang that he broke up their heist the previous night when he got caught.
I can see that.
That's the only thing that I can figure is they know that somebody out there broke it up and that person would be maybe following them. So that's the only thing I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. But it would have been nice to, you know, give a line of dialogue or something like that. Like, okay, I'm going to follow the same guys or, you know, something like that. Cause it, obviously either I'm, you know, it's a little slow or it wasn't exactly crystal clear. So
he ends up getting trapped by them and they take off his mask and none of them really recognize him. One guy says he looks familiar, but the other guys don't recognize him, thank goodness, as Bruce Wayne, or it might be different. But I love this scene because even though Bruce was very much in danger, you could see that kind of detective work going on. He's looking around, looking at his surroundings and seeing and making that plan, and then he executes it. And I was really impressed with how he pulled that off.
Yeah, I agree.
So he gets out, and then the leader of the gang has a drop on him and has the gun pulled on him. And we're thinking, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. And then, lo and behold, Alfred shows up and saves the day. Yeah.
And there was zero fear that wouldn't happen. So, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know he's going to become Batman. So, you know, but still. Yeah. But so Alfred saves the day, and they're going to discuss it back at Wayne Manor. But Mr. Fox comes in, and he's got some supplies for their rock climbing.
Yes, a little Kevlar lined athletic wear.
Yeah, I love that. You know, he was very specific to say that it was bulletproof from 10 feet away or greater. So, you know, there's that limitation that you can't have somebody up close. But then he's got these gloves that have good traction, and he's got the longest. He's got, you know, the Batman Jr. kit in a suitcase, and I just loved it. But it was really cool. Then we get there at the end of the episode to get to see him trying that gear out and making one jump pretty well. And then, thank goodness he had those gloves on that second jump. So.
Yeah. 'Cause he explains that like that they're like these kind of sticky gloves or something like that, which I thought was interesting. I didn't really recognize that as part of the minutia of, or the whatever, oeuvre of the Batman character.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting that they introduced that here.
Yeah, and it was very cool that Alfred made his first mask and yes, gave him the very wise advice: always keep on your mask, because we've seen that he likes to pull it off the second that, you know, anything happens, he's pulling off his mask, and I'm like, what? So,
I love how, you know, all of these story beats, you know, are moving the character along, or moving mm-hmm. Bruce along toward his eventual role as Batman. I hope a couple of things. Number one, I hope that they don't rush it and they don't mm-hmm. move too quickly,
right?
Because we've already gone from the end of season three episode where he's, you know, up on the wall and, you know, has the cape on and so on and so forth, to okay, now he's being Bruce Wayne detective in the first episode, and now he's being, you know, outfitted and with his, you know, proto suit and, you know, so on and so forth. It's like, we need to, my own opinion, I think we need to slow this down a little bit and,
yeah,
you know, let him get a lot more of those lessons along the way. The second thing I hope is that they keep reinforcing this partnership between Bruce and Alfred. And I know that's there already, but what I mean by that is just like, okay, you know, Bruce goes in and, you know, makes a fuss and kind of mucks it up and that kind of thing, and Alfred comes in to save him. And that will be a partnership that will go on for mm-hmm. years and years and years and years. And so, I appreciate that we start to see that even with Bruce in action today.
Yeah, I agree. That's got to be the challenge, because he is, David is growing up. We talked about it last episode that he's getting that height and things like that. I don't know if they'll ever do maybe a time jump. I don't know if they'll do that, but how they're going to pace it out, because that is the danger of, you know, having somebody growing up and wanting to grow it. And even not just with his character, but with other characters within the canon of seeing them progress. And you're like, this is good, but is it going to be too much too soon? I don't know. But, you know, they've done well so far, so we can hope that they keep that rolling. So, anything else we want to cover about that section?
No, I love the portrayal of Fox, and that continues to be a tangential line that we see, you know, right along Bruce and Alfred.
Yeah, Chalk does a really good job playing the character, and I've really appreciated seeing him in the bits and pieces that we've seen him the last couple seasons. So I'm kind of excited to see him kind of rolling into this position and seeing a little more action there.
All right.
So let's roll on to Sirens of Fear and talk about that section, because I'm appreciating what they're doing with this section, because we see this kind of uneasy alliance between Selina and Tabitha, and Selina's getting that training, but she's still, you know, she's still standoffish. And I really liked in this episode that we see some of her motivation of why she's teaming up with Selina, not just to get that training, but we hear her talk about the fact that she's had all these guys going after her and people coming after her, and she knows that she can't just do it on her own. And so I like we get to see and hear some of that motivation from her own mouth in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I am most excited about this part of the episode of watching what's transpiring here, watching these ladies come together and seeing, you know, what will come of this. I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Ivy will step away from Penguin and, you know, join this group. And I am intrigued that Babs is back. I'm not just ready to take it on face value.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's something wrong with her, or, I mean, obviously she's a whole lot more mellow than she's been in the past. So, you know, what's the story there? Is this really her? Is it, you know, who knows? It's Gotham. There could be all kinds of iterations of what's going on here.
Yeah, I really appreciate. So she reaches out to both Tabitha and Selina, and I really appreciated that she reached out to both, and mm-hmm. she wants both involved with her endeavor. So she reaches out to them, invites them in, and basically says, "Hey, we're going to supply all the weapons for Penguin's, you know, licensed criminals."
Yeah.
But I appreciate that they brought up the questions, and it was Penguin that brought up the questions of people thought you were dead and you lost the Sirens Club. How are you getting the money for this? Who's supplying you? So we had those questions asked, and we even had Tabitha ask, you know, I saw you die, and Babs is like, "This is Gotham. Check for a pulse next time." So I appreciate that we're getting those questions asked. We're not just glossing over it, because it really sets up to say, really, who's supplying her? Who did somebody actually bring her back from the dead?
Like, well, okay. So do you have a theory on this?
I really don't. I don't have a theory yet on who's brought it back. But do you?
Okay, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll allow me, I think all of this is being set up by Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
I think he brought her back in the Lazarus Pit, and I think he has set her up with all of this, the building, the weapons, all of it. Yeah, so I think she said there was a story behind it. So I feel like they're not just dropping that we're going to sometimes see how he got involved. So anyway, that's my working theory.
Well, that's you know, to go back to the Lost Days, that's an interesting theory. I like it. I can definitely see that, and I'm excited. And you talked about her change. She is changed, and if going off of your theory, the Lazarus Pit does seem to change people when they come out.
Yep.
And if she went in as Stabby Babs and she's coming out as, you know, much calmer and mellow. And I mean, she had Tabitha's knife to her neck, telling her to do it. And then, kind of going off of your rating, she had her hand out ready to be chopped off by Tabitha, because Tabitha, you know, says, "Yeah, I'll work with you on one condition, and that condition is I'm taking your hand." You know, we both, Butch and I, lost a hand, so but she didn't even flinch. And so, you know, I could see if, you know, she went into the pit and that changed her. Now that may wear off, but that would be an interesting theory. But
and it seemed to me like she wasn't really alive. She was businesslike. She was kind of the shell of the person she used to be. And so that kind of goes along with my Lazarus Pit theory, is just that she's just kind of become Ra's's tool rather than the Barbara that we've come to know and love over the last three seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I'm rolling with.
Yeah, I it's interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing them working together, those three together. And I really liked, we've kind of saw it start last episode with Penguin really pushing off Ivy, and it continued in this episode because Ivy was all about getting Selena and Tabitha to work work with Babs, and she got shut down, and then she goes really on her own accord. I mean, she's really looking for what Penguin's not giving her, and so she's going to Selena and to Tabitha and wants to join in. And you know, I understand that Selena is wary of her.
I mean, I find that to be really interesting. That she's not going to step up and say, "No, I know this girl. It's all good," kind of a thing. She's very silent when it comes to Ivy.
Yeah, I mean, she was a little bit hesitant, but I mean, when Tabitha started to say no, you saw her kind of object more. And I understand that from Tabitha a little more, because she's just wary of Penguin and, you know, thinks that this girl can be used. But we see this rejection by both of them, but more Tabitha, just push Ivy over the edge. And she says, you know, I can't, I need the strength and I need power. And so that forces her hand. And so she's going and taking these strong herbal concoctions made by shamans. And it's really altering her. So, I mean, we're really seeing the start of the true poison ivy here. We don't know if this is like step one, you know, along the line, and there's going to be other steps that kind of give her the full abilities. But it's really pushing that storyline along.
Yep. And Tabitha, I feel sorry for her because she's just kind of getting pulled. You know, she wants to have the power to take charge and all that. But in the end, you know, she brings the cleaver down, doesn't cut the hand off. Mm-hmm. And she puts Barbara in charge again. And maybe that's just a place where she doesn't feel like she can succeed in the driver's seat. But I would much rather see her step forward out of Barbara's shadow and really, you know, start to take control on this. Maybe they'll take it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she's always been, I mean, she's had a role, but with her brother and with everybody else, she's done some driving, but she's let them kind of lead.
Yeah.
And I think she's seen that with Selena, that she's, you know, very kind of uncomfortable and not easily fitting in that leadership role. So maybe this will force her into that, but we'll see.
Yeah. The only other thing I'll say on this is that if Barbara can come back, then I want Butch to come back.
Well, no spoilers, but yes, he's coming back.
Oh, well, sweet. There you go.
But maybe not as the Butch we know. The actor will be back. So we'll see that. So any other points that you wanted to bring up on that section?
No, I'm so glad that the Gotham writers are taking this kind of, you know, birds of prey type of, you know, storyline and running with it. And I'm excited, really excited to see where this goes.
Definitely. All right. So let's get to the main section. Do you fear the Reaper? So we pick up pretty much right after last episode. We've got Harvey and Jim, and they have, kind of traced out and head over to the Crane house to kind of look for Crane, and they don't find him there, but they find Grady dressed up as a scarecrow and held against there, and he's been whammied by the scarecrow, and he's, watch out for the scarecrow. So that was a pretty cool imagery there.
Yep.
And so they take him in, and he's Jim is faced with an ultimatum once he gets to the GCPD. And I could see this coming, but I'm not happy about the way that it's going, but I could definitely see it coming with how Penguin is kind of trying to take over the GCPD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, they're as inept as the GCPD has been kind of throughout this series, the outright kind of defiance to do anything that's even remotely close to their job, I found disheartening, to say it politely, but I don't know if it's poor storytelling or what, but it's just like, if this is supposed to be, you know, a quote unquote realistic city, I can't imagine why anyone would put up with this, you know, kind of attitude. You know, I know there's corruption, I know there's politics, I know all of these things exist, but I'm just surprised that, you know, the city leadership, the citizens would put up with such a poor attitude as far as their police department.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is, like, Penguin does bring up that their precinct has been a battle zone several times, and I understand that somebody is offering you a little more security and a little more control, maybe. But, it's probably just forcing the need for Batman, because there's got to be a need there that the GCPD can't supply. But, yeah, it is frustrating when you know how good cops would react, and you're seeing Jim being the only one that's going to really stand up, because even Harvey brings up the point that, you know, I've got to stand with this crew, because he cares for those guys. And he brings up the point, he says, if I stand with you, I'm going to get replaced, and somebody of Penguin's is going to be put in that spot. And yeah, he cares enough that he wants somebody that cares for those people, and he wants that possibility of having that army. But it's frustrating on the short term, and so it just really leaves Jim with no support at all, and that's a dangerous place to be in Gotham.
Absolutely.
So Jim has to go. They've learned that Crane has gone to the Gotham Asylum, and at first I thought that this was Arkham, but there's a sign on the wall that says Gotham Asylum, and the way that Jonathan Crane talked with the warden about being there for 3 years, we knew that warden, you know, that it wouldn't have been Arkham because of that. So that threw me off a little bit. But so Jim heads over to Arkham, and Jonathan is just wreaking havoc. He's gone after the warden and said, you know, listen, you didn't counsel me, you didn't do anything but give me drugs and shock treatment, and I'm going to free you of your fear. And so that's kind of his plan, is to treat everyone like he was treated, to not overcome their fear, but become their fear. And this was, I mean, they did a very good job on the costume, but the actor that's playing Jonathan Crane did a really good job.
And we had a special guest appearance by Pennywise in this episode.
I was watching this episode and I'm like, oh, the warden really does not need to go see it. Oh, my goodness.
I was like, whoa, that's a bad clown.
Yeah, so the warden's fear is clowns, and we see partway through that he becomes a clown himself.
Yikes.
But the Scarecrow has dosed the inmates and set them free, and is kind of really controlling them. He sees that Jim is there, and he just thinks it's fate, that the man that killed his father is coming to him, and he sets his minions out against Jim, and that was very, you know, frightening to see that. But even more, just the interactions between he and Jonathan, with Jim trying to reason with him and talk with him, and that getting nowhere, was just it was very well acted.
Yes, I agree. I thought it was really a great interaction until we get into Jim's, you know, kind of big fear.
Mm.
And this is where it went off the rails for me a little bit.
Okay.
Because so, you know, it's with everybody else, it's been this image. It's been, you know, here's what you fear the most, and it's right there in front of your face. So, mm-hmm. and you know, my bias, of course, is with the Nolan films as well, because that's exactly what we had there, was that all of a sudden, you know, this image would be right in front of you, and it would just scare you into this state of, you know, catatonia,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of state. And so, you know, I get that, you know, that may not be the way they want to do it here. So, but then we get this sort of dream sequence where you have Lee, who's mm-hmm. in a bathtub, and it's full of blood, and she slit her wrists. And, you know, we're meant to, you know, he's leading along that losing Lee is his greatest fear, and so on and so forth. But then he's able to like reason his way out of it, and it's done. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's convenience. I don't know if that's just the strength of Jim's character, but it, you know, and I don't have the comic background on Scarecrow to say, you know, no, people can get out of this or that kind of a thing. So, you know, maybe this is a very valid thing, but I walked out of that sequence going, well, that was really easy.
I see where you're coming from, and I kind of looked at it a little different, because that image was telling him to that she would want him to do it, and he knows that no matter how that she really feels about him, that she, you know, that she wouldn't feel that way. So I kind of understand that, but I also chalked it up a little to the fact that he has been dosed with the toxin at the end of last season and gotten the antidote. And so maybe having had both of those things in his system, the Tetch virus and the antidote, may have helped him break out of it a little easier. Maybe it wasn't like a full inoculation against the fear toxin that Scarecrow is using, but it that combined with his willpower helped. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what I, you know, put it up to. Now that may be just all a hand wave, but yeah, I did think it was a quick breakout of doing that. And I, you know, one, it's we know that this is not, none of these villains are fully developed, so we're going to see a better fear toxin down the road, because we see that Jim is fighting the minions and learns that water will break them out of the state. So it's not as strong a you know, toxin as maybe what we saw in the Dark Knight or Batman Begins. So
yeah,
so
that could be.
Yeah, it could be that. I mean, it or, you know, I really don't know. But that's kind of where I'm coming from. Is it's just one step down the line, and so it's not as strong. But unfortunately, the Scarecrow gets away, and that's bad news for Gotham. And that's really bad news for Jim, because Penguin's given him an ultimatum of 24 hours to bring in Crane, or he's going to suffer the consequences. So Penguin basically uses this to say, okay, we're going to make our own police force, and I'll pay you three times your normal salary to work for me. And Jim is the only one really standing up. So we've got just some bad stuff happening all around with Scarecrow still being on the loose and Penguin trying to take over the police.
Yeah. And I really felt Harvey's, dilemma in this. And I loved his decisions this week. I mean, it was hard to hear and it was hard to take, but it was smart and it was long-term thinking, not just,
right,
okay, how do we react in the moment? And I thought Donald Logue just really brought a level-headed, excellent performance this week. And just loved their interaction there of, look, we're going to need these folks down the line. And so I can't stand with you today. And, as much as Jim didn't want to hear it, it's exactly what he needed.
Right. And I appreciated that because Harvey is more of that gray character than Jim is. Now, Jim has been, over the course of these series, been forced to make some gray decisions and do things like that. But Harvey's more of a gray character. But, I appreciate it, Harvey, because he has stepped up into this captain role that he was reluctant to have, but he's playing it well. And I appreciate that. And once again, Donald, like you said, is doing a great job at playing that. And Harvey is lamenting the good old days where the Falcone kept his boys in line and it was, you knew what you were going after. It wasn't this craziness that we've had the last couple seasons. And that gives Jim the not so bright idea. Ooh. So he's going after Falcone and Harvey's like, dude, the guy's Italian. You killed his son. This is not a good idea.
Sure. They don't forget these things.
I'm thinking, have you seen The Godfather? But I am excited to kind of see that angle brought back in because I do think while Gotham, the town does have these crazy criminals and these big name criminals, a big portion of the bad guys are the mob, and they've kind of taken a back seat to the major villains because I think people recognize those Batman rogues easier than they do the mob, but there are some great stories out there truly involving the mob. I mean, the Long Halloween is one that I would definitely recommend. That I think Cougar's probably recommended that one on here before, but that one, it does deal a lot with the mob, and so bringing the mob back in is maybe going to bring some balance to some of the craziness. Not to say it's going to be any easier in Gotham for the GCPD or for Bruce, but I think it's going to bring some balance back in. And so I'm interested to see where they go with that story.
Well, and it'll give Penguin somebody to square off on.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of this back and forth between the inept GCPD and his group. So yeah, I agree with you. And as much as we enjoy seeing, the Riddler and Victor Fries and, all of the top headliners, you're right. The everyday, criminal activity and all that really does belong with the mob.
Right. And it backs off of some of what we talked about at the beginning, that you're not just pushing character development with these rogues. And you've got to bring the main characters up very fast, too. So it kind of puts the brakes on that and brings a little more stability and extends the storyline out, I think. And so I'm happy with
it. Totally agree.
All right. Anything else you want to share about the episode?
Excuse me. Just what we started with before we introduced the story titles, just looking back, the building that Babs is in, I thought was very artistic and creatively done.
Mm-hmm.
Very striking. The effects for the Scarecrow were outstanding.
Definitely.
I mean, budget busters. And, I don't know how much he's going to be used in the future, but wow. And good to see Marina Baccarin back. It's, mm-hmm. She's been in the credit sequence.
Yeah.
This whole time. And so I'm wondering kind of what her role is going to be, but I'm looking forward to that, seeing where that goes. So yeah, just a couple of things that I noted in there, but
That they do such a good, production design to, you talk about Barb's new place and, it's very cool and it could easily be very hokey with lever and all the guns come around. But it's played so well, and the lighting, it's believable enough to be in the world of Gotham without being too campy. And like I said, I just appreciate the way that they do stuff. And with the effects, I think with bringing in mob and some of those elements, they can use their special effects budget very wisely. And I think that they've done that with how they brought in the different villains. So yeah, I just appreciate the set design and how they do everything. So I appreciate that.
Good stuff.
All right. So we want to share with you about one of the other podcasts on the Golden Spiral Media Network. And check this one out.
Hi, I'm Brian, and we host the Star Trek Discovery Podcast, part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Every week, we break down each new episode of Star Trek Discovery, a brand new series in the Star Trek franchise, available on CBS All Access in the U.S., Space in Canada, and Netflix everywhere else. We analyze what happened, what we think will happen, and how the show fits and doesn't fit into Star Trek canon, and go through listener feedback. You can find us at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Join our community. Our Facebook group is at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. Live long and prosper.
All right.
Cool. I think that cut out there, but that's Brian and Adam.
Yeah.
That are bringing that Star Trek Discovery podcast to the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. And I wish them all the best as they christen the newest Star Trek flagship, and I've got a lot that irks me about this whole setup, and mm-hmm. I love Star Trek, Jeff. I mean I can't even tell you. I have lovingly dragged my wife through every single one of the series, and she has gone right along with me. She's seen all the films. I own all the films, and but I refuse, I just simply refuse to get on board with the CBS All Access to get access to this thing. And I hope I will see it someday. I'm counting on seeing it someday, whether it be on DVD or whatever the case may be. But this has just really put a burr in my butt, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I really appreciate it, and it looks exciting.
Yeah.
I read a very interesting article about it, really talking about the business politics of why they're doing it the way they're doing it. And I understand from a business point that they're using this as a bargaining chip to, get funding from satellite and cable companies. But I agree with you. I don't appreciate it. And it's holding back content that so many people want to see. And it's just people are the online services. It's just so hard because everybody's hitting you up to try to get you to see their content. And so it's just hard. But from what I can tell, it's going to be good. And I'm hoping that a great job of bringing a new story and good luck to the new podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brian and Adam, all the best. And
definitely.
We'll certainly be, as soon as I see the episodes, I will be going back and taking your podcast as part of the whole experience. So,
definitely.
Thanks, guys.
And now it's time for some feedback. And we've got some bookended feedback. We have not one, but two green butterfly feedbacks this episode. And so we have a little bit of feedback about episode two, and then we have a little bit of written feedback after she finished the episode. So here's her audio feedback.
Good evening, Gotham. This is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. I haven't finished this week's episode yet, but I can already tell it has all the making of a haunted house, a horror movie, and a bad dream rolled all into one. So I have no idea what I'm going to rate this episode, but I already know what my modifier is going to be. Face your fear. Because clearly, that's exactly what I'm going to have to do to finish this episode. Hope you have a great week, and I'm so happy to have you both back talking Gotham. Oh, and P.S. I miss Ed. I hope he thaws out soon. Have a super week.
And she left us some written feedback. She says, after she finished, she says, P.S. OMG. OMG emoji. That was scary. Scary face emoji. Monkey with his eye, face, hands covering his eyes emoji. And amazing. What's going to happen to Ivy? 10 out of 10. Face your fears. Smiley face emoji. Green butterfly emoji. So thank you, Green Butterfly.
Thank you, Justina. I'm right there with you. Ed needs to thaw out fast so we can get his perspective on all this mess going on. We also have feedback from Chris. Chris says, sorry guys, I'm under the weather this week and will not be able to get my feedback in. I give the episode 7.5 out of 10. Dare man. Batman rooftop poses. I don't know. But sinus pressure made most of the episode a blur. But I really like what they're doing with Scarecrow. Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Chris. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, it's going around.
Yes, it is.
And because of our extended feedback deadline, we got some feedback from Jess, a.k.a. Harley Quinn. Yay!
I have to say that just to give you guys, the listeners, a little bit of insight here, I also co-host the Triple Cast podcast here on our network. And anytime that we get feedback into the general feedback line, whether people email it or they, you know, send it by phone or whatever the case is, you get this nice little email from Daryl. And I love Daryl anyway, but just to get these feedback emails from him randomly throughout the day, it's like, this is so cool.
It is.
This one popped up today for Gotham. So thank you, Jess.
Yeah. She says, watch the first two episodes and man, am I excited to be back. It wasn't even off for that long, but once they ended with a dark night, I was so ready for it to be back. Just a couple quick comments. Listening to Pax Pinguana podcast, and I totally dig all the little nods to the adult/future versions of these characters, especially with the twist on Ivy. I was hoping she would be more, but not in the awful cheesy cartoonish way of the movie we're on. Super excited to see her become a formidable villain. Yeah, definitely. And number two, the last episode really put me in the Halloween mood. It's my favorite time of year. It's finally starting to cool off, and that episode was creep-tastic. Loved it. And she has a jack-o'-lantern emoji. That's it for now, but I'll do my very best to stay caught up. But I have to do triple watch duty for Legend. 3 shows, 1 podcast. Craziness! But I love those shows, so I'm really not too upset. Just cuts into my feedback time. Great to have you back in my ears. Cheers, Harley. So, yes, because of the ties and the DC universe over on the CW, she watches all the CW shows, not just Legends, so that when they cross over, she can be ready to give some feedback because they cover them at the end of every episode. So that's great. And we love hearing for you, Jess. So keep the feedback rolling. If you get to watch it, give it to us. We love it.
Excellent. Thanks, Jess.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to turn it over to pre-recorded John.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover and follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
thank you.
Yeah, those are fun to do. Appreciate it.
So we have some news about this week's episode. So
news.
So here's the promo says, Gordon takes matters into his own hands when he travels to Miami and attempts to persuade Carmine Falcone for his help against the fight against Penguin. There he meets Carmine's guest star, John Dorman, daughter Sophia, played by Crystal Reed, who unexpectedly follows Gordon back to Gotham. The battle for Penguin's prize weaponry continues during auction night at the Iceberg Lounge, and Bruce's presence puts him on Penguin's radar in the all-new A Dark Knight, They Who Hide Behind Masks. And it airs Thursday, October 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And in the blog post, we'll have the trailer. We'll be up there. And we've got up on the Facebook page pictures for the next couple episodes. And they're being good now and putting them up ahead of time and giving me descriptions up on the promo site. And so check out those photos.
We've had two very, very strong episodes to start this season, and I am really looking forward to where this is going. They are, I think, really giving those of us who have stuck with this show from back from season one all the way to now, they just keep giving us more and more and more, and it's become a really rewarding ride for those of us who've stuck with it season in, season out. So if you're still trying to get folks on board with this show, tell them to go back. The whole seasons 1 through 3 are available on Netflix in America, and they can catch up really easily and get caught up here at the beginning of season 4. It is so, so worth it.
Definitely. And once again, John, thank you so much for joining me this week. We're really happy that you could fill in. And listeners, be on the listen. You'll get to hear John again in a couple weeks. I've got a church retreat coming up, and so John's graciously filling in for me in a couple weeks. So just thank you so much for being our substitute, John.
Just doing my job. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. So all the best to Karen as she gets better.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye.